reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language, Akeldama, that is, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, may his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office. So when one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection. And they put forward two, Joseph called Barsabbas, and who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Lord, you, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take up this place in ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Please be seated. May the Lord add a blessing to a reading of his word. If you all have in your bulletins, there should be a fill-in the blank for you that I created. So, revival starts with us. We read Acts chapter 1 through 26. You notice that the disciples were commanded to do a couple of things. Number one, they were commanded to wait. Number two, they weren't commanded, but they were praying, and they prayed a couple of times in the upper room and also for choosing a new leader. All right? So personal revival starts with us. And personal revival, the meaning of that is being created in the newness of life in Christ, removing the heart of stone and being given a heart of flesh, putting off sinful acts, studying the word and carrying out the Great Commission, sloshing grace and speaking a good word for Jesus everywhere we go. The definition of revival, according to Webster's Dictionary, is an act or an instance of bringing something back to life, public attention or vigorous activity. In Ezekiel 17:24, it says this, and all the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree and make high the low tree. I dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I am the Lord, and I have spoken, and I will do it. Go ahead and go to the slide where it says what I want it to say. One more. Right here. Somebody read that out loud for me. Revival comes from Jesus, the giver of life. Isn't that awesome? So we saw a video where a guy who was going around the Civil War time, the country was in total chaos. By the way, does this seem like our country and the world is in total chaos right now? Yeah, like we got a explosion that happened in Tennessee that unfortunately killed 19 people. Brother Charlie was telling me that there was three different school shootings that happened the other night. We know that the White House and all their people are trying to work with Israel and the Gaza Strip. What else? We got all kinds of chaos. And yet, when during that time, one man tried to start a prayer revival. And at first, nobody showed up. Only six people showed up. But then, after everybody lost everything, tens of thousands of people started to come to know Jesus. That is what the definition of a revival is. Is the lost people are coming to know Jesus. Really, what I want you to look at, the word is renewal for Christians. You know, maybe we need to be renewed in the right spirit. Maybe we need to be given a fresh life. All right? So maybe we're feeling downcast. Maybe, you know, we are feeling a certain kind of way. I bet you the disciples were feeling like, oh, crap. Like, now what do we do? Jesus has ascended into heaven, and he just said that he was not going to restore the kingdom of heaven at this time. So what do we do? Did they go back to fishing this time? No, they went to prayer. And that's where I want to, really, they learned about repentance. So my first point is going to be personal revival begins with personal repentance, and that is a fill in the blank. Go ahead. Personal revival begins with personal repentance. And you guys know that I can't have a sermon without Charles H. Spurgeon, okay, the Prince of Preachers. So here we go. Charles Spurgeon said this, "If you want personal revival, let me remind you that God only plants the seed of life in soil which has been broken by repentance." Again, if you want personal revival, let me remind you that God only plants the seed of life in soil that which has been broken up by repentance. So the apostles, Jesus taught them about repentance. And as a matter of fact, John the Baptist said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And also Jesus said the same thing, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." All right, so they were going around, and that was their revival. That was their going up to the lost people saying, "You need to repent of your sin." So let's go to Psalms 51, verse 4 through 10. What does that say? Excerpt right there, you could just put, "Confess your sins to God and ask for a renewed spirit." But here's what King David said, all right? So King David, he had just messed up, and he had slept with Bathsheba, and, you know, he had to go and repent to God. This is what Psalms 51, 4 through 10 says. "Against you and you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth and the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." And one more, "Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me." All right, so King David understood repentance. All right, revival and renewal starts with a heart of repentance. And so we have to go before the Lord, and we have to ask ourselves, is there rocks in the garden that needs to be removed? Brother Charlie, you would understand this. You know, when you're farming, you don't want any rocks in the way of your plow, because that would mess up the plow, right? So in a field of soil, fresh soil in our own life, in a spiritual sense, the sin that's in our life are like the stones. We have to go and have those removed. All right? We have to have those stones removed in order for God to plant seeds in that soil. All right? Continuing on. 1 John 1:9. All right? 1 John 1:9. As David understood repentance, so John wrote this. In 1 John 1:9, it says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." All right? Next to your thing, you can write, "Be cleansed from all unrighteousness." All right? Now, again, this is repentance. Revival and renewal starts with a heart of repentance. We have to ask God to remove that heart of flesh, or a heart of stone, and give us a heart of flesh. So we have to, sometimes we have a hardened heart. Okay? Let's think of about an example of somebody who had a hardened heart. Pharaoh, okay? Pharaoh had a hardened heart. He had a heart like stone, and Moses kept going asking him, "Pharaoh, would you please let my people go?" And 10 different times he said, "No, I will not let your people go," until they lost their loved ones. And then he let them go. He had a hard heart. That's the same kind of thing. We have sometimes can have a hardened heart from due to sin, or you know, maybe somebody upset you about something, said something, and you are really mad at that person. Guess what? You can become callous, and then that turns into a heart of stone. So you have to repent of that bitterness that you might have towards somebody, and you have to ask for forgiveness and ask God to remove that heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, so that you have fresh soil that God can plant a fresh seed. Repentance and renewal, or revival and renewal, starts with us. And as we're praying, I want to give you something to think about. You can write this down. I'm going to give you three different things, all right, as we're talking about prayer and praying for repentance. All right? A healthy person is a praying person, and a praying person is a healthy person. All right? So as we're learning about repentance and repenting for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and we want to see revival happen across our lands, a healthy person is a praying person, and a praying person is a healthy person. All right? And I'm going to give you this for next week, but I'm giving you ahead of time, so you got a little bit of homework. A healthy family is a praying family, and a praying family is a healthy family. Now, I don't know about you all, but sometimes it's almost impossible for my family to get together and pray. I don't know why. We have a busy life schedule, and you know, when we get together and pray, it seems like Satan shows up and tries to throw a bomb in there. All right. Every time I've tried to sit down with my family and do some kind of prayer life, it just does not go very well. But that doesn't mean we just give up and don't do it. A healthy family is a praying family, and a praying family is a healthy family. All right. My last one for prayer. Moving on into the church. A healthy church is a praying church, and a praying church is a healthy church. And guess what? As we're going back into talking about repentance and revival, all right, and it starts with us, the individual, sometimes churches have sin, and they need to come together and confess the sin before God and ask God in Psalm, it says in Psalm 85 or 86, Lord, would you revive us again so that we can sing your praises? All right? Revive us again, Lord, so we can sing your praises. And do you know how many times God told the Israelites that they were going to go into captivity, but don't worry, he was going to renew them, and he was going to bring them back from captivity after they learned what they did wrong? Over and over and over through the Old Testament. You know, Jeremiah, poor Jeremiah, he had to give a sermon on, hey, guess what, you guys are going into slavery, but don't worry, 70 years later, you're going to come out. I don't know about you, Brother John, but I would not want to preach that kind of message at all, all right? But they were unrepentant. They were unrepentant, and they had idols in their life, and they were looking at the wrong thing. They took their eyes off the true meaning of life, which is following God and worshiping God and loving him forever, all right? So they needed to do what 1 John 1:9 says. They need to be cleansed from their unrighteousness so that and God would be faithful and just to forgive them, all right? Acts 3:19 says this. Repent, therefore, and turn back that your sins may be blotted out. All right? So that's mirroring. Repent and turn back to God. You can write that next to Acts 3:19. Repent and turn back to God. All right? So we know that the Israelites were told to repent. All right? And what they were needing is renewed. They were needing revival. And they needed to look at the individual and know that, the individual, revival starts with the individual first. So revival, the way that I look at revival, it starts with me, right? I need to be renewed in my spirit, and then I go to my wife and kids, and then I teach them about renewal and revival, and it starts in the family, and then a healthy family comes into a church, and as a healthy family, then they can help revive a church. All right, the church is supposed to be a hospital for the sick, but if a church is sick, can they really be helping other people that are sick? So the church can be revived. The church can stay together. The church can repent of their sins, and God can revive them, and they can be singing praises to God again. Folks, I don't know about you, but every time I open up Scripture, it's like it's speaking loud and clear to me every time. And here is why I think it speaks to me every time, because Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the bone and marrow, and looking at the condition of the heart. And then if you go to Revelation 19, it says that Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to be known as the Word of Truth, right? So when we read the Bible, we're literally reading Jesus, and he's telling us to repent. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Okay, so Acts, go ahead and go to the, what does Ephesians 4:30 say? All right, Ephesians 4:30 says this. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. All right, so then this is what grieves the Spirit. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander. And he says in Ephesians, Paul is saying, put all these away, along with malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God and Christ forgave you. When all hope is lost, and it seems like there is no revival, we got to go to the Word and say, what are we doing? Are we putting away anger? Are we putting away malice? Are we putting away slandering? Slandering is talking bad about one another. You know, and actually, it's speaking the truth, but for an intent to destroy. That's slander. All right, it's speaking the truth, but with intent to destroy somebody. And we got to put those away. We got to repent of those. That's what grieves the Holy Spirit. And last week, or a couple weeks ago, Pastor Art was talking at Hillside Chapel. And he said, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, which is Ephesians 4:30. You know, that is actually it's a love word, grieve. All right? That when you grieve somebody, it's like they really love you, and they want what is really best for you, but you have to repent. If you've grieved the Holy Spirit, which we all grieve the Holy Spirit, we ask for repentance. All right? Because your enemies will celebrate your downfall. Satan wants churches to close. He rejoices at the doors shutting on every door that closes on a church. And every year, thousands of churches close. Thousands. But God also plants something new through churches. He can take a group of five or six people, and they become a praying family. They become a repentant family. And they are renewed in life, just like it says in Ezekiel. He said that he made the green tree dead and the dead tree green again, because he is the God of revival, right? If we've grieved the Holy Spirit, we might be a dead branch. But when we ask for forgiveness and we repent of that, we become a green branch again. And we can be utilized by the Holy Spirit, just like the apostles were in Acts chapter 1. They were waiting, all right? So my last point for repentance, personal repentance. Luke 15:18 says, repent of any sin. Repent of any sin. I've beaten that horse. I think we got it. We need to repent of our sin, all right? So my second point, personal revival happens when we wait on the Lord and we pray, all right? That's your fill in the blank. Personal revival happens when we wait on the Lord and pray. Notice what they did in Acts chapter 1:4. And while they were staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you had heard from me. He told them to wait. All right? So personal revival happens when we're waiting on the Lord. Isaiah 40:31 says, but those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount upon wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. And they shall walk and not faint. That's waiting on the Lord. All right? And you could also go to Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and to give you a future and a hope, right? So, but we have to tarry on the Lord. We have to wait on the Lord because he is the one who renews our strength. He is the one who gives us that fresh wind, that fresh revival through the power of the Holy Spirit. People who are lost, they don't know what they're missing. They need revival. And then once they are saved and they become a Christ follower, sometimes they might fall back into sin, and then they need renewal, okay? So, but they have to go and they have to wait on the Lord, and they have to come before the altar and wait. For 18 months, I've been unassigned. I have no assignment right now. I'm waiting on the Lord, and I'm trusting that he does have something out there for me. But I've mowed a lot of grass this last summer. And I've waited on the Lord and I've prayed on the Lord, just like the apostles were doing in Acts chapter 1. And by the way, if you notice, after Acts chapter 1 comes Acts chapter 2, and that's a church revival. So next week, we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 2. So I hope you guys are ready and excited and buckle up, because it's exciting. All right? If you guys aren't excited, I don't know what to tell you, because God's word is exciting. All right, keep waiting on the Lord. Luke 24:49 says this. Jesus was very clear in his commands to the apostles. Luke 24:49. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with the power from on high. Stay in the city until you're clothed with the power from on high. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. They were indwelled with the Holy Spirit to be able to do the marvelous things that Jesus told them they were going to do through his name. Could you imagine, Brother John, if they did not wait, if they would have not went back to the city, what would have happened? They would have missed out. They would have missed out. Brother Gary, they would have missed out. Right? They would have missed out on this. And I got to thinking about that. Personal revival happens when we wait on the Lord and pray. Just like in that video, it took a while for people to come to catch on that prayer revival. But they caught on, and not only did it hit the United States, but then they went to England and across the world. Billy Graham went to a crusade when he was a teenager and got saved at a crusade and then became one of the best crusaders America has ever seen. He reached tens of millions of people for the gospel because he waited and he prayed. One of my favorite stories about Billy Graham, as he was waiting and praying, and you know, he was asked to preach one time, and he said, "I don't know the first thing about preaching." I am in that camp. All right? He went and he rode across the lake in Florida, and he would preach to the trees and the alligators. And he got so good, he could preach 4 sermons in 10 minutes. Because he waited on the Lord and he prayed. Personal revival happens, and personal renewal happens when a healthy person prays and a praying person becomes healthy. My third point, personal revival begins with total surrender. Matthew 16:24. It says, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Jesus. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Personal revival happens when we deny all of ourself and give it all to Christ. We cannot hold on to anything and expect God to do something in our life. We have to have total surrender. That's easier said than done when, you know, we want to have things our way. You know, when I want things done a certain way at my house, and I got 4 different personalities, that are 3 different personalities that I'm doing well for, mine included, and we want to do something, if I lose my sense of control and I no longer have that the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and I start to do my own thing, that's not denying myself, and it becomes very, very chaotic very quickly. But if I look at the picture and I say, okay, what's going on is much bigger than myself, I have to deny the control, I have to let God have it. Personal revival happens and begins with total surrender. I have to totally surrender my attitude to God and let God work in my life. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22-23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Right? There's 9 of them. And do you know that the fruit of the Spirit helps you be like Jesus? Jesus was loving. Jesus was kind. Jesus had self-control. All right? So, total surrender. How does that work into total surrender? You can't be totally surrendered if you have jealousy. You can't be totally surrendered if you want what you want when you want it, and you're going to throw a fit if you don't get what you want. Total surrender begins with, God, I have to give you this, because I'm struggling with this. I have to totally surrender. I have to surrender it because you are more important than anything else. All right? Deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Jesus. Folks, that's hard to do. There are days, I work back at City Barbecue for the time being, and there are days when I wake up that I really just don't want to go and sell barbecue. And I drive a half an hour to work now, so I drive and I get there a half an hour early, and I sit in my truck, and I pray, and I ask the Lord to make me a new spirit, and I deny myself, and I say, I'm doing this for my family, and let me be a light and salt of the earth in City Barbecue. Let me reach people for the gospel. Folks, I've given out two Bibles to coworkers already, to two different coworkers, because they saw my reactions with customers, and they're starting to say, you know, and they know I'm a pastor. They said, your faith is making me want to renew my faith, because I had to be totally surrendered to Christ. If I'm not totally surrendered to Christ, then watch what happens. I got cussed out the other day at City Barbecue because somebody was not happy about the price of lunch. It was $25. And they asked me what I did wrong. I did nothing wrong. I pushed the buttons and here comes your price. You know, I have no control over the price of City Barbecue. I just sell it. And I just try to be the face of Jesus at that customer. When I got cussed out, if I was not totally surrendered to Christ, I would have lashed out at that customer for cussing me out. But total surrendered and having the fruit of the Spirit, I was able to respond in love. And I told that guy as graciously as possible. I sloshed grace in this moment. I said, well, I'm sorry, and you know, have a good day, you know, because he went somewhere else. And Beaver Creek is pretty hard to find lunch for less than $25, I'm just going to say. Total surrender. The apostles were totally surrendered to Jesus while they were waiting in the upper room. And they were waiting, and they're waiting between the day that Jesus ascended until Pentecost. They were waiting and praying. A healthy person is a praying person, and a praying person is a healthy person. They understood that for 120 people, all right, and they kept praying. Mark 14:36 says, Jesus modeled total surrender by saying, not my will, but your will be done. Mark 14:36. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but your will. Okay? Jesus was praying this prayer on his knees in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was getting ready to go to the cross, and he was getting ready to lay down his life for us. But he wanted a different way. He wanted to say, any other way, Lord, any other way that you could do this, I will do it. But not my will, your will. I will go to the cross humbly, and I will surrender myself to the will of the Father. Not my will, but your will. All right? So personal revival begins with that total surrender of not your will, but God's will. Isn't that awesome? I'm telling you, folks, I just read the Word of God, and it just goes into my soul of how awesome God is. He is the God of revival, and He's the God of renewal, and He wants us to have hope. You know, at Romans 15:13, it says, may the God of hope give you hope, right? That's paraphrasing. But go read that, 15:13. God talks about hope. God wants us to have hope and renewal and revival. And if He can raise Lazarus from the dead, He can certainly raise the church from the dead. We just have to walk in total obedience and be totally surrendered. Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled, or let God fill you every day. Ephesians 5:18. It says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And the King James Version says, be ye filled. Be ye filled. So that's a daily filling. So when somebody comes to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, they are filled with the Holy Spirit. But then there's a daily filling, a daily surrender to Christ. And we are constantly being renewed by the Holy Spirit. And that's why the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, is be ye filled with that. So you could be like Christ, all right? And then your gifts of the Spirit help you do like Jesus, by the way. So you have your fruit of the Spirit, which is be like Jesus, and you do like Jesus through your actions, right? So hospitality, talking, serving, you know, whatever your spiritual gift is, that's how you do like Jesus, okay? So being filled with the Holy Spirit is how we do those things and have that total surrender. And when we're totally surrendered, we can be filled with the Holy Spirit and we can be praying with one another and for one another. And that is how God starts something new. Fresh soil, repented soil. God can take out those rocks of sin and He can put in seeds of the Holy Spirit and we become new. Folks, I want to give you a couple examples of prayer as I get ready to conclude this message, and I hope that you've got the point of renewal and revival starts with the individual. And as the apostles were waiting in the upper room, they prayed, and that's what we do. We have to pray. Prayer really works. For the last 18 months, I've been at Hillside Chapel, Beaver Creek, Ohio, and it's an Alliance church. Every Wednesday, they pray, and they come together and they pray for 150 long shots. 150 long shots. Those are people that only God can reach, okay? But we pray for them by name. 50 out of those 150 have come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. One person started coming to a prayer meeting, and they renewed their life in Christ because of the praying saints over the last 18 months, and they got baptized. My wife, she was having a hard time finding a job in cybersecurity. She put out 150 applications. She even applied at Premier Miami Valley Hospital for the computer stuff. She's applied as a PCT in the past to be a patient care technician to help take care of the people who are sick in the hospital, okay? And she couldn't get a job, she couldn't get a job, she couldn't get a job. And then we went before the throne of grace, and Hillside prayed for my wife to have a job. The very next day, she got a call to become, for an interview to become a PCT at Premier at Miami Valley Hospital. And now she's a PCT, and now they're paying 100% of her tuition to go to nursing school because we've been praying. A second thing about my wife is that she was praying for nursing school. She was having a waiting list at Sinclair Community College. And there was a 2.5-year waiting list. And we prayed that she would be bumped up. She's now starting her nursing classes in January, her clinicals. And it was because God answered that prayer. God really moves in prayer. God really does listen to our prayers. The apostles believed it. I believe it. I've seen it happen. I've seen people get healed of cancer over the last 18 months from prayer service. Folks, a praying church is a healthy church, and a healthy church is a praying church. I know that Brother Gary has called for a prayer service for this very church, for God to do something amazing in this church. I want you to ask yourself, how many of you have actually gone and come to the prayer service that he's been calling for on Sunday nights? That's an internal question. That's a rhetorical question, and I'm not beating anybody up. Just ask yourself that question. Have I really gone before the Lord? Have I really totally surrendered myself to the Lord and asked God to do something amazing in this church? Or have I given up? And I'm going to just let the doors close. The choice is yours. You can pray and ask God for revival in your own life, and then it comes into your family and into the church. And you know what? I'm not going to beat anybody up. I want you to know that either way you go, it is okay. If you feel like God is telling you, hey, I need to vote this way, you vote that way. If God is telling you to vote another way and you want to vote another way, you vote the way that God tells you to do. There's no judgment. There's no hard feelings. But I'm telling you that I've seen and read God raising Lazarus from the dead, and I've seen God heal cancer, and I've seen my wife get a job. I can certainly see God reviving a person in a church. Amen? In conclusion, if there was anything that I was speaking of and going through Scripture and something touched your soul, or you need to get right with somebody, please come to the altar. The altar will be open. There is no sin that you've committed in your life that is not forgivable. God forgives all sin. 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess with your mouth your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. That's God's promise to us. So I want you to think about coming before me, at the altar. The altar will be open. You can kneel, and there's going to be a prayer team. And folks, when I was here for 2 years, if I have said or done something that you feel like you're mad at me about, come get right with me. All right, come to the altar, and I'll make it right. I wanted to have an opportunity to say I'm sorry for any of the wrong actions that I might have committed while I was here. You know, I know that some of my sermons came off a little bit harsh. I went back and I listened to some of them, and I thought, oh, that could have been said a little bit differently. But it came from a shepherding heart, a heart that I really genuinely cared for this church. But if for some reason there is a grievance against me, please come make it right. I'd love to ask for forgiveness of any wrongdoing, okay? And then for anybody, remember, Charles Spurgeon said, God won't plant in soil that isn't broken up by repentance. So repent and make it right and let God renew your life. That is God's promise. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father God, we just walked on a little journey together, talking about revival and renewal, and talking about a healthy person being a praying person, and a praying person being a healthy person. Lord, let it start with me. Let the revival start within my own soul, so that I can carry on the joy that I have, that the world didn't give it to me, but you gave it to me, so that I can give it to others. Let the joy that I have be contagious. Let the joy that I have catch on. Let the prayer service that is called catch on. Lord, just like it did in the 1800s, and then 10,000 and millions of people came to know you. Lord God, we know that in Acts chapter 2, they were praying, and 3,000 people came to know Jesus. All right, we know that it was a continued on thing throughout Acts. A healthy church, you know, was praying, and they were devoting themselves to the Word and the apostles' teaching, and people were coming to know Jesus. So, Lord God, I just pray right now that the Holy Spirit would just move in this place, move in the hearts of the people. Lord God, this church is the bride of Jesus Christ. Jesus, you die for the very bride. And this little church right here is an expression of that bride, of the bride of Christ, the capital C church. And so, Lord Jesus, I know that you care about these people. And Lord, whatever happens next in the next couple weeks, it is your will. And we want your will to be done, not our will. But Lord God, I just pray that you would give these people a hope. And if you call them to another church home, that's okay, Lord. Help them to be renewed in spirit and go into the next place, being ready to be a healthy church family member, to cause revival into the next place. Or if you call them to stay here and stay open, Lord, it is your will. It is your will. But Lord, again, I keep saying, if you raise Lazarus from the dead, you can raise a person from the pit of depression and anxiety, and you can make them renewed. You can renew this church. Father, I thank you so much for your word and how living and acting the interpreter of any two-edged sword it is. Because it's Jesus. So Lord, As we conclude this time together, as we listen to the next couple worship songs, as people are raising their voices, and Lord, if anybody is being drawn to repentance or they need to call, you know, come get right with somebody, Lord, I pray that you know, you just speak to their hearts and let them get right. Lord, I thank you so much for this opportunity to come and share a hopeful message. I hope and pray that it was out of love and grace and mercy, Lord. It was not to belittle anybody. It's just to encourage, Lord, let them hear, let them wait, and let them tarry on you, and let them have renewed strength. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.